Let's talk tonight a little bit more about this dealing with uncertainty. And I want to pick up, I guess, where we left off on Sunday night. We used the text over in the book of Esther, where Esther, wait a minute, I think that's Lucas, isn't it? Are you proud of me, Lucas? Praise the Lord, son. That's Logan over there and Lucas over there, and they could be brothers, couldn't they? I guess they are brothers in the Lord, amen. And then Logan, your brother's name's Cody, and I got that name in my family too. I got a sorry son-in-law by the name of Cody, amen. My grandson's Lucas, so anyway, if you'll pray for Pastor, he'll pick it up after a while, amen. But we were talking on Sunday night out of the book of Esther, and if you want to turn there, we'll go back over there just a few minutes tonight, just for springboard again. But over here, the letter was sent out in chapter 3 of verse 13, to all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month. Let me just say something real quick. There's a big seemingly uproar going on in our country right now over people that are here illegally. And I like what somebody said today. They were talking about sanctuary cities. And the thought was this, that's a place where you can break the law and don't have to worry about paying the price for breaking the law. So a man asked the question. He said, I don't like paying taxes. He said, you suppose we could get a city set up where if I don't want to pay my taxes, I can live in that city? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? Amen. If you're breaking the law, you're breaking the law. The Jews weren't doing anything here wrong, but Haman was wicked. He hated Mordecai, hated his guts because Mordecai wouldn't bow to him. And so he goes and gets this passed. And 13th day of the month, which is month Adar, to take the spoil of them for a prey. And that's what's going on in the book of Esther here. And you come into chapter number 4. And Mordecai, in verse number 13, he commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then shall there be enlargement. And then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go and gather together all the Jews that are in Shushan, or present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. We're talking about dealing with uncertainty. Let's pray for just a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for our people. Thank you, Lord, for the burden that they have for one another. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you're the great burden bearer. Lord, we can cast all of our care upon you because, Lord, tonight you care for us. Lord, I do pray tonight that you'll bless our people. I pray you'll touch Sister Shelby tonight, Lord. Brother Bob, Brother Brian, Lord, especially. God, just help them. God, will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to just continue the thought. We talked about, first of all, in the message on Sunday night, by the way, Brother Larry, it's good to see you tonight. When I looked over my shoulder a while ago, we've been praying for you and asked the church on Sunday to pray for you. Just good that you're able to be here, brother. I mean that. Appreciate you so much. We were talking on Sunday night about dealing with uncertainty. That the fact is there will be uncertainty in our families, our jobs, our wealth, our health, relationships. You know, right now, since the president was elected, the stock market has just been going up, 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 and I'm sure a lot of people's happy about that. But, you know, it's uncertain. Nobody knows, amen, when the bottom might fall out of something called the dollar. But we do know this, amen, when we have treasure laid up in heaven, the bottom will never fall out of that. There'll never be a thief that'll break in there and steal it. Rust. I was looking at Brother Eddie's truck Sunday, and I've had to look twice to make sure it wasn't a Chevrolet. It's a Ford, but it's got rust all over it, amen. And it reminded me of that old Chevrolet that I had. Somebody said there'll be no Chevrolets in heaven because the rust will not enter in. I'd say that's about right. Amen. There may not be many Fords either. But listen tonight, there will be uncertainty. We talked about that in the three Hebrew children's life, in Esther's life, the life of the Jews. But listen tonight, we want to just deal with it. I said on Sunday night, and I believe this, if we don't deal with uncertainty, uncertainty will deal with us. One of the ways that uncertainty deals with people is despondency. They pull off to themselves, and they don't want to talk to nobody. They just want to kind of what I call sulk. Just get off. You know what I mean? And it's dark and the valley's deep, and I understand all that. But if you'll deal with the uncertainty, I believe God will help you through it a whole lot better. And I'll show you tonight how that we can do that. And then another way is depression. If you don't deal with the uncertainty, I mean, you can get very, very depressed over the things that's going on in and around you, in your family and around your family. So on Sunday night, we said there will be uncertainty. We started in on the second point in the message, and that is we can look to the one who certainly knows the way in our uncertain times. We can look to the Lord because he knows the way in the uncertain times. I read this, and I thought it was kind of a good way to set up the lesson for tonight. A devout believer in astrology, French King Louis XI, was deeply impressed when an astrologer correctly foretold that a lady of the court would die in 8 days' time. Deciding, however, that the too accurate prophet should be disposed of, King Louis summoned the man to his apartments, having first told his servants to throw him out of the window when he gave the signal. He said to the man, he said to this astrologer, he said, "You claim to understand astrology and to know the fate of others." That's what he told him. He said, "So tell me what your fate will be and how long have you to live?" And the astrologer looked at the king and said, "I shall die just 3 days before you, your majesty." The shaken king canceled his plans. He had a little bit of confidence, didn't he, in the astrologer. How much more should we have in the God of heaven that hung the stars in place? Amen. And know that in uncertain times, he knows the way. I was trying to magnify on Sunday night how that we can look in the Bible. Many times God will give us an answer in the Bible. We can look to the throne of God, and many times God will give us an answer as we look to the throne of God. And I wrote in capital letters in my notes right here on this third thing, we can look to the brethren. I wrote this in capital letters, be careful. You can look to the brethren, yes you can, but be careful. You say, "Preacher, why did you even mention that you can look to the brethren?" Because the Bible said there's safety in a multitude of counselors. But remember this, on Sunday night I told you that if you look to the Bible, you've already got your mind made up, you're probably wasting your time looking to the Bible. Amen. If you're going to pray about something and you already got your mind made up in an uncertain area, you're probably just wasting your time praying. You know, we need to get to that nevertheless point like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Nevertheless, here's what I'd like to see, Lord. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. That's a neutral position where we can just turn it over to the Lord. But in looking to the brethren, you say, "Preacher, what do you mean be careful?" Well, if you're not careful, you'll just look to enough brethren till somebody says what you want them to say, what you're wanting to do anyway, amen? And another thing, too, you can look to the brethren, and some will pray, some will talk. How many knows what I just said? You just got to be careful, amen? I can remember I used the example Sunday night, and I'm not going to go all back through that, how that we look to the Scripture and look to the Lord in prayer and how that the Lord led us to come here. But you know, I also looked to my pastor. I sat down at lunch with Brother Danny Sykes, a man that I have a great deal of confidence in. And I said to Brother Danny, I want your counsel, and this is what God is doing. And I talked to him. It was breakfast. We sat down at breakfast down in Church Hill. And this is what Brother Danny said. He said, it's evident to me that God has already put the church in your heart. Well, I thought, well, amen. I'm glad that was evident. I wasn't trying to convince anybody, but that's what he said. And then he said this. He said, Brother Rick, he said, I believe the church is ready for a pastor. And I tell you, I sought counsel, amen. I'm not ashamed of that, amen. I'm just a man. I can blow it just like you can, amen. I can miss God just like you can. And so those are areas where we can look to the Lord. We can look in the Bible. You say, well, looking to the brethren, that's not looking to the Lord. It is if it says in the Bible, there's safety in the multitude of counselors. Would you want your teenager to make some kind of life decision and not have enough confidence in you to come in and sit down and say, Mom, say, Dad, this is what I'm thinking about. What do you think? Amen. I believe that's healthy. I believe that's wise. So dealing with uncertainty, we talked about on Sunday night that Jesus said the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. And we talked about the fact that most of us have never wondered where we were going to lay our head. We knew we had a place to pillar our head. And so there's some things that we do know, but many things that we don't know. How many remembers the story where Jesus fed the 5,000 men? Did you know it was uncertain to those men? He said 200 penny worth of bread wouldn't be enough to everybody get a bite, so to speak. Amen. And he said, and here's a little lad. He's got two fishes and five loaves. Did I get that right? Is that right? Five loaves and two fishes. And anyway, he said, what are they among so many? In other words, it was an uncertain time for the disciples. It was an uncertain time for the 5,000 men that was beside the women and children. But how many understands that there was a certain Jesus that knew of a certain what he was going to do, that he was going to bless it, he was going to break it, set them down in companies of 50. The Word of God said, let all your things be done decently. And in order, he set them down there in the grass and he fed them all and took up more than he started with when he got done. Amen. And so, yes, it was an uncertain time, but that little boy trusted the Lord with his lunch. And those disciples, I believe, had a little bit more faith. Say amen. When God got done than when God started, because they saw him work in an uncertain time. Amen. So we need to look to the Lord. I was thinking of some things, and I'll just touch on these tonight and try to go on. But, you know, the Lord knew. He knew what was going to happen that day. Well, let me tell you something. When Joseph, when he talked about his coat of many colors and his brethren got jealous, you know what? God knew that brethren would be jealous. God knew about that pit. God knew about Potiphar's wife. God knew about the prison. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something else. God knew about the palace. I mean, God knew that there needed to be somebody in Egypt that was in touch with the God of heaven, or a lot of people were going to starve to death. Amen. And so what I'm trying to tell you is, if Joseph was to look at the little picture, boy, it ain't good here. It ain't good here. I'm falsely accused. I'm in prison. This is a mess. But I tell you, there was a God that had a picture that was bigger than what Joseph could see. And all in the end, Joseph told his brethren, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. I tell you what I believe sometimes. Listen to me carefully. I believe when the trials come in your life and my life sometime, and those uncertain times, I believe the devil would like nothing more than to back us off in a corner somewhere. Nothing more than to convince us that nobody cares. Nothing more than to have us looking down and dark and depressed and defeated. Amen. I tell you, when we look up to the one that's certain, I believe with all of my heart, he can take that the devil meant for evil, and he can turn it around and make good out of it in our life. And we come away with more faith, with a deeper faith, a greater appreciation for the God of heaven. Amen. He did it for Job. He knew the way. Job didn't know the way. Job went through some dark, dark days, some deep, dark valleys. Job's wife went through those valleys as well. Not a lot is said about her. But let me say this tonight. I don't say this to be negative. I'm just quoting Bible. The woman is the weaker vessel. If Job had that much trouble with what was going on, you can mark it down that Mrs. Job had a whole lot of trouble with what was going on. It's not recorded. And sometimes people fuss at her for saying, why don't you curse God and die? It could have been that she just loved him so much that she would rather see him not suffer the way he was suffering than to live the way that he was living. Amen. Rather see him go on. I've seen that in my family before. Sometimes it just gets to where it's easier to turn them loose, especially when they know the Lord. He knew the way for David. David didn't know what he was going to do. He's in a cave. Out there's Saul. Out there's Saul's men. Out there's a man that's heart's full of rage. His heart's full of jealousy. Would kill him in a heartbeat. And you know the story where David even took and cut a piece off of his skirt while he was asleep. Amen. And yet he wouldn't touch God's anointed. And yet it was an uncertain time for David. David had that friend in Jonathan. You remember the story. He said, listen, shoot that arrow out there. Let me know what's going on. It was an uncertain time, but God knew the way in that uncertain time. David was going to be the king, amen? And David was going to be God's anointed in the place of Saul. He knew the way for Moses. What are you trying to say, preacher? He knows the way for you. He knows the way for me. There will be uncertain times, and we need to look to the one who knows the way. I'm sure that Moses was feeling pretty good going out through there. I mean, God has brought those plagues in Egypt. God has brought that last one, the death of the firstborn. The children of Israel put the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, and their children did not die that night. Their firstborn did not die the way the people in Egypt's firstborn died. Can you imagine the weeping? Can you imagine the wailing the next morning when they went to cribs and went to bedrooms or woke up? You know, I don't know how the housing was made back then. It may have all been one little room. I don't know. But wake up and there's your child. Your firstborn is not breathing. I'll tell you, it was a terrible time in Egypt. I believe Moses, as he marched out of there, Pharaoh said, won't y'all go on? Go on and worship your God. I believe Moses was feeling pretty good about it. But then old Pharaoh changed his mind, didn't he? He said, let's go get them. And Moses ran into the Red Sea with those millions of people, amen? And there he is, backed up against the Red Sea, thinking, listen, it's an uncertain time. Say whatever you want to. The enemy's right there and the sea is right there. But the God of heaven knew for certain what he was about to do. He was about to part the water. They were about to cross over on dry land. And I thank God for that. 2 Corinthians said, for this cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And the Bible said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Brother John touched on this on Sunday morning in Sunday school. That worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. But here's what I wanted to get to in these verses. While we look not at the things which are seen, How in the world? Don't you know it was uncertain in Paul's life over and over and over again? Shipwrecked, beaten, and stoned, and left out in perils of countrymen, in perils among false brethren, every way turned. I read something one time. It was a really good little article. It was about putting in an application or a resume, so to speak, for the pastorate. And it got all down through there, and the deacons were gathered around, and they talked about how this man spent so much time in jail, and how that he was in trouble just about everywhere he looked. And they said, man, there's no way we could get him for a pastor. And then it was signed, the Apostle Paul. That gets the point across, doesn't it? Amen. I believe tonight, listen, Paul, he went through a lot of uncertainty, a lot of uncertain times. But how did he make it? Well, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. I'll tell you something tonight. There's times I couldn't lift my head up if all I could see is what I can see. But thank God, God lets us see what we can't see with these eyes. Amen. Lets us see it through the eye gate of faith. Look not at the things which are seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let me give you this lastly tonight. I said three things in the message dealing with uncertainty. Number one, there will be uncertainty. Brother Johnny, I mean, in your family, there was uncertainty just recently. And thank God that there's some things we can be certain of even in uncertain times. But you know what, tonight, let me give you something. I want to deal secondly with look to the one who knows the way through the uncertain time. The last thing I want to give you in the message is, in the midst of the uncertainty, thank the Lord for the things that are certain. Because it doesn't matter how many things, Brother Wayne, if we're a believer, we're born again, we're saved by the grace of God. It doesn't matter how many uncertain things there are in our life. There are a bunch of certain things in our life. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He loves me. I could shout and run a bench right there. It don't matter what I'm going through. I know he loves me. The Bible said a brother loveth at all times. Well, let me ask you something. Don't you reckon we have a father that loveth at all times? I said, he loves me. He said, preacher, you're in an uncertain time. If I could just get to that fact, that'll help me a lot. He loves me. He hasn't forgotten about me. Listen, he knows me, and he still loves me. What about that? Amen. I'm certain of that. He cares for me like no other. He's been good to me. I'm certain of that. How many could raise your hand tonight and say, he's been good to me? You reckon he's going to quit now? No, God is good all the time. Even in uncertain times, God is still good. Somebody help me tonight. Oh, beloved friend, listen, he loves me. He's been good to me. He gave me my family. He gave me my Bible. He gave me my church. You'll like this, Brother John, the last lesson Brother Brian did. I wrote down in my notes here. He died for me. I'm certain of that. He got up for me. I'm certain of that. He's coming back for me. I'm certain of that. There's a lot of things I'm not certain about. But I tell you, in the midst of the uncertainty, we ought to just begin to thank God for the things that we know that are certain. Amen. I started thinking about songs. I wrote this down, Brother John, right there after he died for me and he rose again for me. He's coming back for me in honor of that Sunday school lesson Brother Brian did, that last one. That sounds like dynamite to me. I'm certain of that. Say amen. The power of God. Amen. I got to thinking about some songs. It would be awesome if I could sing, and I can, just not here. When I get my quit laughing at me, Brother Thurman, that's enough. Amen. I can't sing. You don't believe me, you come and see me in my new home. I'm going to make Brother John Docker and Brother Ralph and Brother Johnny and all of them sit down. I'm going to sing them one. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. Listen to these songs that God put in my heart. How great thou art. How great thou art. I said, I'm certain. He's a great God. The next song was, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. I'm certain of that. If I start concentrating on the things that I know in uncertain times, it blesses my heart. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I'm certain of that. Love lifted me. I remember a little youngin' one time thinking that when I was singing that, that it was talking about Miss Eve. Because I was singing, love lifted even me. Well, love did lift even me. Amen. I'm certain of that. I'm certain that love lifted you. That you were sinking deep in sin. You were down in a miry pit. But someone come along that loved you and extended the hand of grace. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Brother Larry, I'm more certain of that than I am that I'm living tonight. Amen. Faith makes you certain of some things on a hill far away. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm certain of that tonight. I just don't believe you hang around the church like this. If you didn't believe that, you weren't certain of that. Amen. Listen, He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. I'm certain of that. You just begin to think about things that are certain in uncertain times. Brother Houston, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. I'm certain of that. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. The songwriter said, the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'm certain of that. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Am I certain of that tonight? To be absent from this old body is to be present with the Lord. The choir sings the song, what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me. I'm glad my daddy breathed his last breath, Brother Rose, certain of that. He didn't just get happy in the choir, amen, when he was singing that. Because it was some pretty words. You could look at his face. You could read his face. And it was as if the Lord would take him by the hand at times and give him a little glimpse into glory. Beloved, there'll be no sorrow there. No more burdens to bear. I was thinking, I think, Brother Johnny, I couldn't hear you well. I've noticed, and hopefully these hearing aids coming up will get me in better shape, but these speakers right here are just kind of pointed right back through there. And I had to get up Sunday morning, John, when you was teaching, and go back there, kind of get out in front of them a little bit, and that helped. But when I was sitting over there, it's almost like it's a dead spot. You say, well, why'd you sit over there? Because the prettiest woman I've ever met in my life sits over there. So I might have to move the prettiest woman I've ever met in my life in front of the speaker. Amen. So I can sit with her in here too. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe with all my heart, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. I sent Brother Brian a text this afternoon, and I said, Brother Brian, I don't know of a man with more courage and more faith than you have. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to trust the potter. We're going to trust the one that's got us all up on His wheel. He's molding, He's making. If you ever get a chance, I've shared this in the last few days with several different ones. Shared it with Brother Brian and Sister Kim, and it really blessed their heart. Go on the internet and look up the song, I'll Trust the Potter's Hand by the Wisnants. Now, there'll be several to choose from, but keep choosing until you get the one that doesn't show them standing on the stage singing. I'm not against that, but it's got artwork, Brother Johnny, of that old potter as he works with that pottery on that wheel. Honey, He knows just how much we can take. He knows where to apply the pressure. He said, Preacher, you've lost your mind. No, I haven't either. Jeremiah understood that He's the potter and we're the clay. I'm certain of that. Beloved, listen. Our peace, it doesn't come from knowing what tomorrow holds. But our peace comes from knowing who holds us in the palm of His hand. And who knows, my friend, what tomorrow holds. He does. He knows. So tonight, when we're dealing with uncertainty, let's just remember there will be uncertain times. You know, God willing, in a week or so, maybe not that long, the Lord will give us our 10th grandchild. Brother Wayne, if you'd have told me when I was 25 years old that when I was 57, I was going to have 10 grandchildren, I'd have said, I'm moving to California. How many knows how well I'd do in California? Amen. Somebody said the other day they're going to secede from the nation. I really think that'd be good. You can get mad at me if you want to. I'm sure there's some good people in California. We'll make room for them in Tennessee. Amen. There's a multitude of people in California and New York both that have lost their mind. They've lost their mind. Listen tonight. A lot of things are uncertain. But let's look to the one who knows the way. Think about, just think for a minute with me. I'm trying to be led of the Lord, close this out. Just think for a moment. When Adam and Eve, Brother Wayne, all they had known was the garden. They hadn't known sin. They hadn't known shame. They hadn't known guilt. And Brother Johnny, they were expelled. They had to leave. They had to leave. Can you imagine, Brother Gary, the uncertainty? God's clothed them now in coats of skins, so they're no longer naked. But could you imagine knowing what you had and knowing that God had said the ground's going to be cursed? Right? There's going to be thorns. There's going to be thistles. Adam didn't know what a thorn was, Brother Johnny, or a thistle. Adam didn't know what it was to sweat. And he's with me. Just the uncertainty. God had the woman had no idea what she's going to go through, the jaws of death to deliver children. And she had no idea what that pain was. But you know what I want to just magnify tonight? They did have to leave the garden. God put the angels there to keep the way. Y'all remember that with the flaming swords. That because God didn't want them to eat of the tree of life and live forever. How many remembers that? You see, because after sin, God's plan was a tree of life that was shaped like that. That was the only way we was going to live forever. It wasn't going to be because of the Garden of Eden. It was going to be because of Golgotha's hill that we could live forever. But just think about the uncertainty. But Brother Rose, he went with them. He led the way. You say, preacher, you can't say that. Who taught Abel? Who taught him that God would be pleased if you'd bring that little lamb? Who taught him that? That serpent didn't teach him that. Amen? I believe mom and dad said, boys, listen. Mom and dad blew it. But God made a way that we could fellowship with him. It's through the blood. An animal has to give its life. Amen? What I'm trying to say is, yeah, they had to leave the garden. And yeah, it was uncertain. But there was one that certainly knew the way all the way through. There's one that certainly knows the way through our uncertain times. Amen. While ago, Brother John, did somebody request prayer for Sister Shelby? Okay, good, because I wasn't here for about the first 5 to 8 minutes, I guess. That's good. Brother Ralph said she is doing a little better this evening, and so remember her. How many's glad you come tonight?